John chapter 6, verses 60, supposed to go into 71, but we'll talk about that later. There's a book called Selling Jesus. It was written by Douglas Webster. And he described in this book about how Americans trying to attract people coming to church. And I think the concept is about yourself trying to attract people coming to church in the right way, so-called, and then they are actually maybe selling out Jesus when they share the gospel. And I think a lot of time we have this consumerism, you know, we come to church just like we go to a marketplace. A lot of us are motivated on Saturday going to grocery stores when you see the flyers before you go and know what kind of stuff you can get cheaper price. So we go there to shop. So we try to get stuff with a lower price. Of course, as an owner of a grocery store, they try to sell you stuff with a lower price too, because they know that this is what you want. And sometimes when we sell Jesus, we use the same idea. We try to make it easier for people to come to know God. So we lower the price to sell Jesus. But meanwhile, we may be taking a risk of selling out Jesus instead of selling Jesus, meaning sharing Jesus. So today we're going to look at this. We are not selling Jesus. What we need to do is proclaim the gospel with our own lives to demonstrate this compelling message of the gospel. Not by just words or by like a businessman try to sell Jesus with a lower price, because we know this is attractive to everybody, buyers. Unfortunately, sometimes churches also caught into this mentality. We try to lower the requirement, so-called. We try to lower the cost of being a disciple so that more people will come and sit here and try to attract people becoming so-called Christians. So today I have 2 points to share with you. Not selling Jesus, but with our lives, we share the gospel. The first point I want to share with you, follow Jesus means obedience. Follow Jesus means obedience. If you look at these verses 60 to 71, look at verse 60, you see that people starting to grumble when they hear something about what Jesus says previously. Because it's a very long passage, so I don't have time to ask people to read the whole thing. But if you look at this passage, starting from verses 60 to 71, there are 2 times grumbling mentioned twice. One is in verse 41. The Jewish people were grumbling when they heard something. And then Jesus carried on the conversation, and then you will find the word grumbling again in verse 61. But this time it's his disciples grumbling. So you need to know the context. Why are they, you know, so hard to accept or to listen to Jesus talking? Can you show the PowerPoint? If you go back a little bit, and Jesus just show up beside the lake, I think, and then people try to follow him, and they were expecting Jesus to perform miracles. One of them was to feed them, look after their physical needs. And Jesus was talking about this, you know. He bring up this whole conversation about, you know, feeding, eating, and then they said that, well, Moses provide us bread from heaven, meeting our needs. And then Jesus correct them and say, no, not Moses, but Father, the Heavenly Father provide you the bread. And then he carry on the conversation and said that the true bread, he is himself, Jesus Christ, and said that God sent his son to this world so that people can be fed spiritually, and then they will have the result, life, eternal life. But if you look at verse 58, Jesus described these differences. Bread from Moses, so-called in the Old Testament time, the physical bread will eventually bring death. There's no future, so-called. But if you accept Jesus Christ, there will be eternal life. So in this context, he was talking about eating his own flesh, you know, drinking his blood, all these things. And then it was so hard for the audience, the listening, the people who are listening to all these conversations, to accept what he says. But if you look at the context, Jesus was not talking about literally eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He was just using the parallel about Moses giving them bread, the physical bread in the Old Testament time, and they eat, they drink in order to survive, in order to live. But God sent his only son and give them a different type of life, a true life, eternal life. It's not just physical life. So in this context, and the Jewish people and the disciples were offended. They were grumbling about this. You know, they had a hard time to accept what Jesus was talking about. And they said that his words are hard to hear. So hard to hear. Is it true that it's very hard to hear? If you look at the context, he's cold. Maybe we need to give him a jacket. Turn out the AC. If you look at the context, you know, Jesus was not talking about today like today. We are not eating his body and drinking his blood. He was talking about Moses. From there, he was talking about how people can accept him as their savior by receiving him, just like eating the bread into your own body. This is the context, and this is the conversation. And people find it very hard to accept what Jesus said. Is it true that it's very hard to understand, or is it really hard to tolerate, very hard to absorb, and very hard to listen, to accept what Jesus offered, the way for eternal life? I think we feel offended. Well, at least the Jewish people feel offended, including his disciples. The word offend, yeah, in Greek, comes out of the word scandal in English. So he was talking about, are you offended? He was asking his disciple, are you scandalized by what I say? And it sounds that they have a hard time to accept the way to have eternal life. Jesus is trying to invite people to him. He was using this context to bring out this message. Remember, the Jewish people, they have this mindset. I think it's from the Old Testament. They expect God to look after their needs. So when they saw Jesus performing miracles, feeding 5,000, you know, they were thinking maybe he was the second Moses that, you know, sent by God to look after their physical needs. But when Jesus moved that conversation to a spiritual conversation about meeting the needs, not just physically, but also spiritual needs, will result with eternal life, they had a hard time to accept him as the true bread. And he's the Son of God. All these concepts is too hard for them to accept. Jesus invited people to him, but they rejected him. Not only the Jewish people rejected him, even his disciples rejected him. What can we learn from this? If you look at this conversation, what can we learn from this, you know, up to this point? It's very hard to understand sometimes what Jesus is asking us to do. In this context, it's about inviting him to be your savior, accepting him as your Lord of your life. But a lot of time when we turn, you know, open the Bible, we have a hard time to read some scriptures because it seems that it's offending us, you or me. We would prefer to listen to some and read some, but not the whole passage. Return the Bible. Sometimes we say, this is hard to understand. You know, I have no clue what it means, so I just try to avoid it. It's hard to understand, but Jesus is asking us to obey. And I think this is an important lesson that we need to learn as his disciples. Hard to understand. Hard to comprehend. But Jesus is asking us to obey his words. And then the second point that we can learn from is sharing Jesus is not necessary, meaning selling out Jesus. We share the gospel. We share the gospel. Sometimes we feel that the people feel, they feel offended. But we should not lower so-called the standard. We should not just present part of the gospel, the good part, so-called easy part, meaning the blessing, you know, what you can get from Jesus Christ. But you'll be blessed by God, all these wonderful things, which is true in the gospel, but it's only half the truth because we do not share the harder part about the cost of following Jesus. And a lot of times we try to lower the standard so that more people will come to know God. But I'm not sure this is the genuine, real disciples that Jesus is looking for. We should not sell Jesus, selling out Jesus, but share the gospel. The third one that we can learn that is speaking the truth with love. You know, when we sell Jesus, when we share Jesus, we need to understand that, you know, telling the truth is easy. A lot of us have this temptation. Telling people, rebuild people with the word of God, you know, it's so easy, so heavy too. So you can bang on people's head and say, you know, this is the word of God. But Jesus said, I think the Bible tells us that, speak the truth with love. But a lot of time, we turn to what? Be more loving. We don't talk about truth, we talk about love. How wonderful the love of God is. And we neglect sometimes purposely, consciously, to tell the truth. But I think we need both. We need to tell the truth with love. Not just telling love with love. Second point I want to share with you today is that follow Jesus means eternal life. If you look at this, continue to look at these conversations Jesus has with his disciples, you see that Jesus is offering eternal life. You know, sometimes, from time to time, we have a dream about Jesus being, you know, being here with us. You know, it would be wonderful if we have a conversation with him. And sometimes it would be wonderful if he just, you know, beside me all the time. But seriously, if you think about it, I think 90% of you say, no, thank you, no. Because I don't want Jesus in my bedroom. I don't want Jesus in the washroom with me. I just don't want Jesus with me every day, you know, because if you think about it, it's kind of a lot of stress. Because you have to be good all the time. And we might find it hard. Sometimes we will love this, you know, especially when you go through a tough time. Then you may want Jesus beside you all the time. But I think if you look at this conversation, you see that Jesus was right there talking to the disciples, not the Jews now, talking to the disciples, and they just have a hard time to accept what he says. It's very hard to accept, very hard to understand, it's very hard to be humble and be obedient, even before standing in front of him. So we understand that following Jesus does not mean that it's by doing things, trying to understand everything, then we will be able to accept and follow Jesus. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 63. Please look at your Bible. Verse 63. It's a very important verse. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. So you look at the context. It still continues the conversation. You look at the context. It's talking about physical needs, the body, you know, because people were hungry. They were following Jesus because they expect Jesus to feed them. A lot of time we follow Jesus with the same idea. It may not be bread, but we have something that we want from him. So we follow him. And Jesus tells us that, no, this is not the agenda that you should have. You should follow me with my agenda, not your agenda. And the agenda is invite you to become, you know, his messengers, becoming his disciples, so that you will be his messengers. But a lot of time we follow Jesus with our own agendas. And we try to so-called accept it by God with all kinds of things that we do. But verse 63, Jesus tells us that it's not what we do or what we try to fulfill, meet our needs, that will give us life. It's the Spirit gives life. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 37, it's a wonderful picture. A lot of people may not realize this passage. Ezekiel chapter 37. If you have time, you can go home and read this. It's about the army of God. They were all bones, you know, shattered on a desert. And then God was talking to Ezekiel, you know, speak to the bones and the flesh come back, the skin, all these things. But they were still dead, just corpse. And then God told Ezekiel and said that they need what? A breath of God so that they will come alive again. So that picture, the Spirit, the breath of God is essential for being a disciple of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says the same thing. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, for he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You know, a lot of time we try to be a good person. We try to be, you know, good enough to earn the eternal life. But God keeps telling us it's not what we do to earn eternal life, but the Spirit gives life. Have you accepted Jesus? And I think this is the key. How many of you have watched the movie Godfather? Yeah, understandable, because this is an old movie. Classic. It's an older movie. There's a scene about the son took over the business, and then I think his sister had a baby, so they were in the church, baptized this little infant. At the same time, and this godfather actually ordered his people to kill the other family, you know, mafia family. At the same time, he was at the church, doing all these wonderful things. Baptism, you know, delegation of the baby, all these things. But it's at the same time, he ordered his hitman, killing a lot of the other members, you know, family, the mafia family. You know, sometimes we think if we go to church, we do something nice or do something good, we can compensate what we do in our bedrooms or what we do in this, our thought lights, in school, in the office. We think if we do something good, we will balance out. But it's not true. Even today, you know, when we come to the communion, and people think that if I take communion, I will somehow have a power to overcome temptations. I will be blessed better by God. So every communion Sunday, in traditions, you will see more attendance. Well, at least in my church, in Hong Kong, that's true all the time. Communion Sunday, you will see the attendance jump drastically. As soon as the communion is over, the service is not over. The service was still carrying on, but the communion was over. People starting to leave. Even before the service was over, they got what they want and they are leaving. Baptism. A lot of people think that baptism is about going into the water for that 2 seconds, Pastor Stan, no more than 2 seconds, okay, because I will be drunk. So you expect that 2 seconds in the water, your sins will be cleansed by water. You know, we have this concept, okay, baptism, water. Okay, well, I'm clean by the water. Actually, the water is pretty dirty. And the communion, every month, come back and you take it, you know, then I have a power to survive for another month. We have this concept, wrong concept about eternal life, about relationship with God, and all these wonderful things that, you know, we always mix up. Because we are not really listening to the word of God. We have a hard time to accept what he says. Sometimes we just have a hard time to obey what he tells us to do. Maybe some of us, we don't want to turn back from God. You know, these disciples, a group of them, actually, after they heard what Jesus said, many of them turned back. The word is turn back. They left. We might not turn back because you might get a phone call, you know, people will text you, how come you don't come to church anymore? You don't know what to say, so you just come back. But you might turn away from God already in your heart. You might not have turned back from following Jesus, but you might have turned away in your heart, even this morning, brothers and sisters. Ask yourself, search your heart. Have you turned away from God? You might not even remember when did I turn away from God? Maybe a month ago, maybe an incident when you pray to God, God did not answer your prayer, so you turn away from him, you feel so hurt, so you walk away from God, even though physically you are still here. Sometimes things happen, you want to answer, but it seems God is not answering your prayer or answering your questions, so you turn away from him. His words are hard to accept. His words are hard to understand. His word actually is hard to obey, I think. So this group of disciples from Galilee, they also walk away from him. If you look at John chapter 2, verses 23 to 25, the followers at Jerusalem walk away from him. But now, chapter 6, followers of the Galilee also walk away from him. We prefer God to tell us something, you know, tangible, talk about love, kindness, forgiveness. You hardly hear people talk about the wrath of God, the judgment of God, holiness of God, what he expects us to do. We don't want to talk about that because people don't like to hear that. But we would love to hear, you know, God is loving, caring, he's forgiving. Doesn't matter what you have done, God is going to forgive you. You know, it's so attractive, you know, when you hear those things. Now let's come to the key passage. How did these disciples respond? Some walk away. And then Jesus looked at the 12 and asking them, are you going to leave too? This is a watershed of your faith, a moment of truth. 12 disciples standing there, maybe standing there because it's beside the beach. So we assume they were standing there. And Jesus turned to them because a lot of other disciples already left. And he turned to them and asking them, are you going to leave too? How do you answer that? You know what? How Peter answered these questions. But how would you answer these questions? This morning, I want to ask you. God is speaking to you, maybe, in your heart. Are you going to walk away when things don't go well? When things don't go your way? Verse 68. Peter's confession. On behalf of the 12, he says that, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. Again, Peter spoke first. He's the leader of the 12, so he spoke first. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. And then later on, he said in verse 69, he said, we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. They have made a choice. Peter, on behalf of the 12, he made a choice and said, you are the Son of God. Because in this context, he was listening, you know, surprisingly, Peter, like, you know, Peter, the guy who loves to talk, actually listened to the whole conversations. And I think he understood the whole context, you know, the conversation from the beginning to the end. And he stood there on behalf of the 12. He said that, yes, you are the Son of God. You give us life, eternal life. Where else can we go except following you? People expecting second Moses, feeding their needs, become their king, maybe, and will lead them from the, you know, slavery of Roman empires. They were looking for a physical king or physical savior. But Jesus said that, oh, I'm more than that. I'm a spiritual savior too. I save your life, eternal life. And they chose to believe that. And people say this is the turning point in the book of John. How many of you know the location of the Continent Divide in Canada? People call watershed. How many of you studied geography? Do you still remember those things? Continent Divide and watershed. North of the border, the watershed, Continent Divide is between British Columbia and Alberta. Still don't know? Close to Columbia Icefield. How many of you have gone to Columbia High School? You should go to Rocky Mountains. It's a beautiful place. So the watershed actually in Canada side divide the rivers to three directions. Some goes to Pacific, some goes to Atlantic, some actually go to where? Arctic, Hudson Bay. So in the States, just go two ways, west and east. But in Canada, go three directions. Go north too. So the river goes to Hudson Bay. And this section of the book, theologians believe that this is a watershed, not just for Jesus, but I believe it's also for his disciples, because they need to make a choice. Jesus laid out everything now. Did he tell them, I am the bread of life, and I'm inviting you to eat me, so-called, to take me in, to accept me, so that you have eternal life. He laid out everything in a very hard language. But it's the truth that he's talking about. It's a very hard language, hard to accept. He laid out this. He did not make it easier. The Jews were offended, just believing that he was from heaven. They already feel offended. And then he carried on. He said, not just that. Actually, you have to eat me, drink my blood, to be part of me, become my disciples. So he even went further. For us, we would say, oh no, I try to share the gospel and this guy has a hard time to grab, so maybe I should just back off. But Jesus went further. It's very interesting. He went further and described, this is a very hard passage. A lot of people avoid this passage. But this, if you look at the context, then you understand why Jesus talked about this, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It's a watershed. He lay out the truth. He did not back down. He did not make it easy. And the 12, Peter said that they have chosen Jesus because he's the Son of God. In him, they will find eternal life. Brothers and sisters, you need to make a choice. Shed, watershed of your faith too. I'm not sure how you relate to Jesus. Is it because of you come to church, you expect you are Christians? Because your parents come to church every Sunday so that you expect you are Christians? Or because you go to, serve God in VBS, STM, I'm not saying that you are not, okay, those people serve. But, or EMT, okay, your leaders even, or your pastor. Doing the job doesn't make that you are Christians. We really need to take Jesus in. Take him in so that he can be your Savior and Lord of your life. Closing. I said that Peter, listening to the whole conversation, can you turn your Bible to verses 28 to 29? I think this is the key. In the beginning, people was asking Jesus, what should we do? What we need to be done? Verse 28 to 29. They asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. They were asking Jesus, what do we do? How can we please God? How can we meet the requirements of God? A lot of us ask these questions. A lot of non-believers ask these same questions. How can I please God? How can I be accepted by God? And Jesus' answer is very simple. Verse 29. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who has sent. He has sent. And Peter listened right from the beginning. So when he comes to verse 68, he said that, I believe you are the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, you've been in the church for years, many of you. Have you listened carefully, just like Peter did, in the whole conversation? A lot of time we are so busy, you know, reading emails. I already know that people are so busy. I said that I just came back from Ottawa yesterday. I wrote an email talking to a brother. And then he said, oh, I'm glad you are back to Ottawa. What? I just said that I came back from Ottawa. You know, a lot of people just, well, including us, you know, when we read email, we only read the first two lines, maybe even the first line, then we assume the rest. But Peter, listen. Brothers and sisters, I ask you to really listen to the word of God. Everybody's smiling because we all run into this problem. Living in cities, big one like this in Toronto, I think we run into this problem all the time. The second point, I want you to see that not only we need to pay attention to the word of God, to obey his words, and Peter make a mistake because Jesus said in verse 70 and 71, give us a hint that Peter could not speak for the whole group. Because Jesus know that there's a one who's going to betray him among the 12. But Peter, speaking on behalf of the 12, saying that we're going to follow you because you are the Son of God, you have eternal life. And Jesus want us to see that, no, Peter could not speak for the whole group. I could not speak for you, brothers and sisters, that you are Christians, you are the follower of Jesus Christ, because only you know, only God knows where you stand at this point in terms of your relationship with him. Peter could not speak for the whole group, even though he tried. And Jesus tells us that, no, he could not. And I cannot speak for you. And even our elder could not speak for you. I could not speak and say that, you know, NCAC, when they all come together, this is a bunch of lovely, wonderful, you know, spiritual Christians. I could not say that. I could say that we do well, you know, in ministries. Well, we love mission. We love outreach, you know, ministry-wise. Maybe I can say something like that. But I cannot say you are spiritual, you are loving, you are genuine, faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Only you can speak for yourself. And Jesus wants us to understand that, wants us to see that Peter could not speak for the whole group. He can speak for himself, but only you can speak for yourself. Where are you at, brothers and sisters, when it comes to relationship with your God, our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's bow our head. Our Father, we give you thanks for this message. It's very hard to understand, but we have to read from the beginning to the end about this conversation. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. He was trying so hard to explain the importance of taking him in, to the point that it was so hard for the listeners to understand, to accept who he is. Lord, a lot of time we've run into this same problem in 21st century versions. A lot of time when we read the Bible, we avoid those commands, asking us to do this and to do that, asking us to trust God, asking us to obey God. We would rather just read those tangible, loving words that are good for us, we think. Blessings, loving, forgiving, all those wonderful things about God. Lord, we need to, like Peter, listen very carefully about what you want to say to us. Not pick and choose. Maybe we have a hidden agenda in our hearts so that we avoid some passages of the scriptures. But Jesus, you want us to understand your agenda, your way of doing things, your plan of salvation. Lord, help us to obey. Help us to really come to look at our hearts. Is this the day that we our faith is in the point of watershed? We need to make a choice. Are we going to follow you, or are we just like a bunch of disciples that you get so hard for them, they just turn away, they just leave? Lord, pray that we will continue to follow you. not just follow you in a distance, but follow you closely and faithfully. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.